Former Labor MP Annabelle Digantz and her husband Greg have been charged with blackmailing opposition leader Peter Malinauskas in an alleged plot to regain a seat in state parliament. He joins us this morning on the Rush Hour. Good morning, Pete. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, gents. Thanks for having us on.
Pete, what has transpired over the last 12 months for you to come out and say enough is enough?
Well, I actually reported this, gents, to police early last year. I witnessed conduct that I thought was, you know, unethical at best, but at worst, you know, unlawful. And I thought, well, what I've got two options here. Either sort of ignore it, which might have been politically convenient, or I do the right thing and act with integrity and report it to police. So that's exactly what I did. And then, of course, now we're in a situation, 12, 14 months later, where the police are laying charges. So I'm not able to go into the specifics of the case because the matter's before the courts. But I guess what I can say is, hopefully your listeners can have confidence that if, you know, something untoward happens in the political process, I'm the leader that's willing to call it out.
Pete, aggravated blackmail. Now, this is a serious offence. It's basically a smear campaign, but well done to you because it's a courageous move and a bold move because the election is within 12 months and this could drag on right through that period. So it took some courage for you to come out and do this.
Well, Bernie, it was just the right thing to do. I mean, when you're in these roles, I think people want to see you make the judgment calls that are consistent with the best integrity of our democratic institutions, you know, and worry about the politics second. And that's what I've done here. I mean, it hasn't really affected me that much. Although technically I'm the victim, I don't feel like that. I mean, I'm the leader of the Labor Party, the party I believe in and love. And we've got a really big opportunity at the next election to present an alternative vision for the state on issues like jobs and health and education. And that's where my focus is. So police have done their work, and obviously that's culminated in the charges being laid against these two individuals yesterday. So that's their job. I'm focused on mine, which is, you know, making sure we've got policy to take to the next election for a brighter day ahead.
I know it's only just come out, but has there been any backlash from within the party?
Oh, no, quite the opposite. I mean, most people who know me, I think, oh, well, this is just Peter doing the right thing as leader of the party. Yep. I think no one wants to see this sort of business go on. I think there's an assumption when people observe politics sometimes that things go on behind closed doors. Well, I'm not that guy. If I see someone doing the wrong thing, I'm going to call it out. I'm going to call it out loudly. And that's why I reported this conduct to SAPOL at the very beginning of last year. And it's certainly now out there on the public record and people can judge my actions accordingly.
Hey, Pete, big thumbs up from me as well, because I think we've all had a gutsful, really, of some behaviour that goes on, as you said, behind closed doors with everything coming out in regards to Canberra as well. So, yeah, things just need to change, don't they?
I think that's right, Blue. Like, I mean, people want to see their political leaders calling this sort of thing out. And look, like I said, this happened right at the beginning of last year. And you know, at the time I was a bit distressed by it. I was like, you know, what's the right thing to do? And I'm glad I, you know, acted transparently and reported it accordingly, because I think that gives a bit of a sense to people that I'm not going to try and, you know, just dismiss things and ignore them. But like I said, while we're 12 months out from the election, I don't really see this being the distraction. The court process will play out for the two individuals that are involved. My focus is on, you know, all the other issues that we've got in the state. You know, we've got the highest unemployment rate in the country. We've got a health system that's, you know, in legitimate crisis. Yeah. Yeah, it's in legitimate crisis at the moment. So I've been talking to people like Ambos, small businesses that want to employ more people. That's where my effort is focused on. And when I'm not thinking about that, I'm hopefully thinking about a Port Premiership at the end of the year. So they're the two.
Oh, no.
We know you love your footy.
That in, Pete.
Hey, and you mentioned the Ambos. We ran a story yesterday as well. What's going on there and what needs to be fixed? What would you do?
Well, we know watching this whole saga unfold has been a little distressing, because we've now got a really extraordinary situation where the ambulance service are crying out for more resources. Mm. There's also the issue of ramping. There's the same issue, but also separate. They're crying out for more resources and more Rambos. And what Stephen Marshall's government has done is they've put Rob Lucas in charge and said it's an industrial dispute. Now, Rob Lucas has, in the last couple of weeks, said, okay, we acknowledge that there should be more ambulances. They've offered 50, which is not enough, but they've offered 50. But they've said, we're not going to give you the 50 until you start changing the arrangements around your meal breaks. Now, my view is, if there is an issue to address with enterprise bargaining around wages or meal breaks, you know, that process should play itself out. But if there's acknowledgement that the reports of people dying while they're waiting for ambulances is true, if there's an acknowledgement we need more resources and that the state can pay for it, then they should. I don't think we should be sitting around on our hands watching more people miss out on getting the treatment they need at a time of emergency. So let's get those resources out there and get on with the job. Now, if the government's not going to do that separate to enterprise bargaining, then I'm going to take a proper health policy to the election that addresses the issue.
Pete, the slow rollout with the vaccines, is it the government's fault? Is it people not wanting it? What's happening there? How do we change people's mindsets?
Yeah, it's really important. Look, the vaccine matters, I think, here in South Australia, not because of the immediacy of the health issue, because like the rest of the country, we're relatively COVID-free, which is, you know, a great success for Australia and South Australia. But the real issue for the vaccine roller in SA is the issue about the economy. It is our passport back to a stronger economy and hopefully people putting jobs back into the labour market. And because we've got the worst unemployment rate in the country, you know, there's 140,000 people in our state at the moment who are looking for work and can't find it. They need the vaccine rolled out. And the problem in South Australia is that we've got the lowest vaccine utilisation rate in the country. So out of all the vaccine that the state government has received, only 54% of it has been administered. So 57% has been administered. And that's a lot lower than the rest of the country that is in the 70s or 80%. So if the state government's got the vaccine, they've got to get it out there, particularly amongst Medi-Hotel workers. We've got 8 people in our Medi-Hotels at the moment that have got COVID, yet they've got Medi-Hotels workers around them that haven't had the vaccine. We think that's crazy, and that needs to be addressed.
Pete, thanks for your time. Well said, and good luck with this. And no doubt an outcome will be in your favour. So thank you, Pete.
Appreciate your time, gents.
Good luck there. There's the Labor leader, Peter Malinauskas, blackmail bombshell here in South Australia.